Appreciate the chance to be here and share with you, and look forward to sharing what's in my mind at least, and hopefully it'll have some relevance to what's in your mind and lives. But if you would join me in listening for the reading of the scripture of Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts here together be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. I'm tempted to simply summarize everything by saying what she said. The children's moment does a great job of doing what the promotional advertisements are in the movie theaters, where they say, "This has been approved for all audiences." So the young, the older of us, and all of us are able to listen and hopefully gain something. As you already know from hearing the story, a couple of ways, I like the revised Sally Standard version. But when we get into this story, it's a very full story. How many remember the Reader's Digest? I don't know do they exist? Do they still exist? But I know in college it used to be, if you could get the Reader's Digest version of some complicated reading that you needed to do, you get the gist of it and you could answer some basic questions and sneak through. But the Reader's Digest version of this is set in the context of two very dramatic stories which have been told in Matthew before we get to the one about Jesus and Peter in the water. John the Baptist had just died. Jesus had fed 5,000 people. Now he's dismissing the crowd and the disciples go off onto the sea. He goes off to pray. A storm comes up. Jesus comes walking through the storm on the water. There's a drama of the excitement and terror. Eventually, Peter tries to get into it and give it a shot himself. He sinks. Jesus saves him. We move on. Just to give you the context within Matthew, at least, the next story is in a town where they landed, every single person who touched the hem of Jesus' cloak were healed. So a lot is going on. There's a few more verses than what I just said. The ultimate point in the story reaches the place where the disciples in the boat are trying to say, "Oh my gosh, what does all of this mean?" The interest, as I said, continued on from that point on, but there probably are, I said it earlier at the 9 o'clock service, at least a dozen potential sermons just in the scripture I read. So I figured if we started at 9, which we got one of them done, and we continued on, which we didn't, and we kept going and we brought coffee in and snacks, we could get the 12 sermons done by about sunset. So if you'll just be patient, we'll have potty breaks every once in a while. and everybody can be comfortable. Shift seats if you need to. But there's a lot going on. A good story to be read very carefully. If we take our time, let the players play out their roles and their perspectives, and let the feelings build up as they no doubt did when the real story happened. I often feel frustrated by the fact that we read Bible stories sometimes incredibly fast. It's as if the goal is to get it done and move on. I like when BJ, in the middle of reading a scripture, will stop and say, "Did you notice that word? Did you catch what just happened in the middle of the story?" And gets us to take a little bit of time to pay attention. The characters become more clear. The stories become more rich. They become more personal. That's Peter's part of the story. This is Jesus' part of the story. This is the boat. This is the sea. The pieces of the puzzle. So what do we focus on today? I have this imagination that some of you, because it probably is a very familiar story, are saying, "I wonder if he'll talk about this. I wonder if he'll explain the walking on water. Sorry, I don't have an explanation." I think the thing I want to draw our attention to today is Peter. Really focus on that character. I'll get into it a little bit later, but the reason this story once came onto my mind very strongly was in a visit to a hospital to see a friend. But as I said, I'll explain that a little later. In listening to this story for today, I'm reminded that Jesus often began a lesson by saying, "To what can I compare?" He might have said, "To what can I compare the kingdom of heaven?" When I read those words, I hear, "How can I get you from what you think you understand to what I, the teacher, understand?" The challenge is that God's truth is often very different from what we think the truth may be. So the teacher needs to build a bridge between where we are and where we need to go. A week or so ago, I offered to spend a little time with a young lady we know through our youngest son, who's the sister of his girlfriend, and talk about math. She was challenged to get through the last exam of her year. I had to spend a lot of the time going, "What do you understand? Where have you been? What do you know? What do you think this means?" before I could even begin to hopefully give her something new to think about and give her more confidence. So when Jesus and the disciples were sharing the stories through the Bible, they're trying to get across an important lesson, an experience that they may not have completely understood at the time it happened. Very personal lessons, very personal experiences. They were, most of all, real experiences. Let's try to sort out this character, Peter. I wonder what you think about when I just simply refer to him and say, "There's this guy named Peter in the Bible," and then stop there. What comes to your mind? What stories? What remembrances? What thoughts? The easy version is he was one of the first disciples called. He was referred to by Jesus at one point as the rock on which he would build the church. In the Roman Catholic Church, he's traditionally thought of as the very first pope. References to Peter in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible happen 163 times. So he's obviously a very important part of the discipleship and the apostles. On that basis, it would be easy to see him as just another one of those biblical characters. I can imagine the posters now on the local bulletin boards. "Come, hear about Peter," appearing in a large painting or a stained glass window near you. It's one of those Bible guys. I can see that, but it's not who he really was. If we read the whole story, then the details get a bit more complicated. He was, of course, originally a fisherman. When he first encounters Jesus, just before the calling, If you read the story carefully, he actually has a little bit of an argument with Jesus about fishing. Jesus suggests he throw his net on one side of the boat. Peter says, look, we've been doing this all day long. I can hear him say almost, I'm a professional. What do you want? But Jesus finally convinces him. He tosses his net, comes back with more fish than the net can hold, has to have help getting it in. So his attention is obviously gotten. Actually, though, once he gets a little bit closer to the moment just before Jesus calls him, he says to Jesus, don't call me, I'm not worthy. Before it even happens, he's not, in his mind, worth the call. He evidently, from the other stories told, was very outspoken. He not only would speak his mind, I believe if you were in the context of the disciples, he was probably one of those people that someone a bit more timid would whisper in his ear, Peter, ask him this. And Peter would boldly say, yeah, Jesus, what's the deal with that? And he would be the one who sticks his neck out. When he tried to walk on water, he sank. Not a successful experience from his point of view. He was apparently a fiery personality. There was one point when he drew a sword and cut off a man's ear. He was physically reactive. At one point, he swore he would never, never desert Jesus, even if it risked death. At another point, he acted like he never heard of the man, let alone knew him. So those are a bit more complicated than the biblical character of Peter. Here's an important fact that this began to sink into my brain a few years ago when reading these stories about these ups and downs of these real people. Peter literally likely told the stories on himself to the other disciples because he was there. He knew what happened. He knew where he stumbled. And he felt it was important to share that and say, this is part of the story. Some of the lessons is to learn about this man named Peter, but I believe there's an even deeper lesson about the potential relationship with God. I'd like us to stop for a minute and think about how we handle relationships. There's two parts to this question. One is, how do we handle letting someone be our friend? We often put up safety nets. Don't get too close. I don't want to know the real complicated parts because it could be messy. It could be complicated. It might not be fun. More importantly, we often think it might rub off, as if your problem is contagious to me if I get too close. So we put a protection around those things we let in. On the other side, we put protections about those things we let out. My parents had a couple with whom they were extremely close friends. The husband was a very well-known pastor. His wife was a very attentive pastor's wife, which means something to some people that others might not appreciate. They had a deep friendship, and one time the couple shared with my mom and dad that one of the things they valued the most is my mom and dad knew the whole story. That their life wasn't pristine and perfect, all set up in a pulpit and on a Sunday morning. And that made it more rich to them. But we often make the barriers so that we don't get there. We don't find that connection. My oldest friend and I, the oldest is a complicated term for me, having moved all over through my life, but he and I had occasion to spend a little time together last year. Over lunch, we met in a small restaurant. As we got done greeting each other, I simply turned and said, how are you? To which he responded, I didn't know what that meant. It obviously wasn't something simple. So I thought, well, I'll give him an out. Maybe it's none of my business, and that's a courtesy that I would hope to extend to anybody. So I said, look, if it's none of my business, forget I asked the question, let's just chat. And he went, We ordered our meals at the counter, took them back to the table, and we began a conversation. He says, normally that's an extremely easy question. I'm fine. There's the barrier. But between him and I, that's not an easy question. We need to share real. I finally learned what meant. They were having challenges. Jesus knew Peter better than Peter knew Peter. That's part of where this story gets interesting to me, because Peter not only told stories on himself, but they were expressed in the context of a life following Jesus. When he released those stories from the cage of protection, then they became part of the, oh my gosh, look at how important this relationship is. Even with all these bumps and bruises, even with all the stumbles and falls, I still have a connection. That's something that is very precious, like my parents' friends. When a friend of mine called, or his wife called from a hospital several years ago and asked if I would come to visit, I had no idea what I was walking into. It ends up he was having emotional difficulties. They were deep enough and complicated and traumatizing enough that he needed to be hospitalized. He shared what he was struggling with, which was not known to me up to that moment. And I sat there and thought, what can I offer my friend? I'm caught off guard. I'm in a place that I don't normally expect to spend time with him. And he's challenged in a way that I'm not trained to deal with. And then my brain thought of Peter. My friend happens to be Catholic, so I thought that made an interesting connection. Because as I said to the Catholic Church, Peter's the first pope. So I said, do you know this guy named Peter? You've probably read about him and heard about him in the Bible. He goes, yeah. Looking at me like, what in the world does this have to do with where we are today? I said, what do you think about Peter? Well, he was pretty amazing. What do you remember about Peter? Well, I remember him trying to walk on water and Jesus pulling him out. And I remember him being the rock on which the church would be built and all the easy pieces of the story to remember. Finally, we got to the story with the walking on water. And I shared with him, this is where the story means a lot to me today, that day, that moment. Peter was sinking. Jesus was pulling. My friend sat there. He looked at me because one of his deepest concerns was that he thought God was going to give up on him. He was too disturbed, too traumatized, too fragile. Things weren't working out the way he had hoped them to be. But then we talked about Peter. I think Jesus would say, in this context with this story, to what can I compare the potential relationship we can have? Because our friendships often are fragile. We are conditional friends. We're conditional lovers of the people in our lives. If this, okay. If that, not okay. If you don't stumble this way, I'll keep this going. If you stumble, I might have to say goodbye. But that's not the way God and Jesus work. Thank God. Every one of us has the need to be loved as we are, though we tend to protect who we really are. Approximately once a month, I spend about 30 minutes in a nursing home. The job is simple, to lead a small worship service. These are people who are permanently residents in the nursing home. And to be very honest and very frank, 90% of the time, there's not a lot of response. I could talk about something and there won't be necessarily a reaction. That's okay. I like being there and I like sharing. One Sunday, I was sharing a story about a man who was in the last days of his life. And in those last days, his pastor came to visit him and asked him a simple question. He said, is there a hymn you'd like to sing? Because he recognized this man had not been able to go to church in quite some time. The man thought for a minute. He says, yeah, I'd like to sing Jesus Loves Me. The pastor flinched a little bit, thought, well, wow, of all the hymns I was thinking of, Rock of Ages, How Great Thou Art, Amazing Grace, this man has picked Jesus Loves Me. So in the telling of this story in the nursing home, I simply spontaneously began to sing the first verse, and to my shock and to the shock of the staff, most of the people joined me in singing the song. They were responding to the need we all have. When I went from that point on, I said, they may not appear to be listening. They're here. That's what we all need to know. Jesus loves me just as I am. He never let go of Peter. Even when Peter did the absolute opposite of what Jesus would have liked, even when Peter did the opposite of what Peter would have liked, that's part of the story. Jesus loves me. Not only Peter, but you and me, just as we are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the constant reminder, the constant connection that you are reaching for us. Like Peter, we sink, we stumble, we rise, we climb, we fall. Help us to grasp your hand as you would lift us back out, dust us off, and try again. Amen.